We just sang, what, a couple of two Christmas songs? Right? And it occurs to me, right, you know, Pastor Darren was talking at the beginning, right, Merry Christmas, right? And, you know, I mean, we used, even joked about it, right, Mary Kate and I, heaven help us, we're a little strange in that we have we bought a metal moose sculpture, right, and I wanted to put it out front as Merry Chris Moose. But, you know, the truth is that, you know, so many people now, it's like, Christmas has nothing to do with Christ. And this week, right, you know, I think about myself, right, it's been 39 years, and I've been learning more about Jesus along the way, and I'm still only partway there. But frankly, got to pick the right word here so I can, because this goes out on video, in that I'm upset in that all of us don't know our Savior better than we do. And so I'm probably going to, the Lord is probably going to prick a whole bunch of hearts here this morning and maybe change the way your life goes. Right? You know, I mean, I ask myself the question, how well do I know the one that I call Savior and Lord? Right? And hopefully everybody here does call him Savior and Lord. But isn't it extremely important to know him very, very well? And I'm going to get into that this morning. But also I'm going to get into how we can know him better. So let's examine, what child is this? Right? You ever wonder what Mary was thinking about when she looked at that baby in the manger? Right? We know a little bit about when the angel came to her and said that she was going to be pregnant. And that she had to be frightened. Right, because Deuteronomy and Mosaic law, she was to be taken outside the city and stoned as an adulteress. That's what should have happened to her. Right. Lord prevented that from happening. But the song, you guys know the song, Mary, Did You Know? Right? Yeah, I love it too. But you think about that, right? And that, you know, did she know that he would heal lepers? He would raise Lazarus from the dead, that she would see him hanging on a cross. You know, you wonder how much did Mary learn about Jesus during his lifetime? But the question that I ask is, how much do I learn about Jesus in my lifetime? I'm going to tell you a story. Mary Kate's laughing, right? That's a picture of us. Right? That would have been in Christmas 1991. 92. No, 91. Okay. 91. I've got it right. I've got it.
And you got one right, Gary.
Always correcting me, even in public. Let me tell you the story, right? We were at it was our first church home. It was a huge congregation, one of the original mega churches, right? The auditorium sat 2,600. They had a pipe organ that I think was like the second or third largest in the whole country. The choir had 75 people coming out in satin robes. I mean, it was big. Well, every year at Christmas, they put on a Christmas presentation open to the public, and they put it on for a couple of weekends. They invited us. Part of it was a living nativity, including animals. And they invited Mary Kate and I to be the first family. Now, I kind of thought it was a little strange because John, the baby that you see there, he was born on January 4th, so he was nearly a year old. And I told people, if he gets up and walks out of the manger, I'm going to claim it's a miracle. But, you know, Mary Kate and I, we were in our 30s. Nobody could confuse us with teenagers, and they talked us into it anyway. And that's our darling daughter, who was just turned 3 at that point, right? But it was in her. Now, we were to be out there before the first act. The first act was Merry Christmas music, right? Not religious, not faith-based music. You know, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all that kind of stuff. Then we were to be out there again during the intermission. And then the second act was all faith-based music, right? Culminated by us bringing the baby Jesus from the narthex up the aisle and that spotlight on us and that placing him in a manger. Two problems. One, in that there were sheep among the animals, and the sheep did what sheep do, and little Kate managed to slide in it and sit in what sheep did and sheep do. Yeah, fortunately, somebody took her and cleaned her up. Okay. But, here was the real challenge, right? In that this was on an evening, and so by the time we got to the intermission, it was like 9 o'clock at night, and it was little John's bedtime, but he couldn't sleep, and he started screaming, right? So we're in the green room or whatever, right, trying to quiet this kid down. As I recall, I think we even took him out in the parking lot and drove him around a little bit to try to come. Nothing worked. Nothing worked, right? Came time for us to go make our big entrance, right? And I'm like, oh, Lord, this is a mess. We're in the narthex, right? Everybody's praying over John that he would please be quiet. Well, nothing worked. Time came to dim the lights on the sanctuary, spotlight. We start walking up, and John is just screaming his little lungs out. We got halfway up the aisle. Everybody knew that this was not a doll. This was a real first, this was a real baby that we were carrying. Halfway up the aisle, silence. The Lord quieted him down. It was as if the Lord says, no, it's about me. It's not about you. And that's my message this morning. Right? It's about Jesus. Right? How well do I know my Savior? And now, what do others say about Jesus? Right? Jesus asked the disciples. He said, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And you know that happens still today, right? There's people that say Jesus is a prophet, a good moral teacher, and that a wise man. It's all true, but it's not the total answer, right? But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that changes everything. That changes everything. If you want to know somebody, you ask them about themselves, right? Isn't that a good way to get to know somebody? Well, what did Jesus say about himself? Well, he said a whole lot of stuff about himself and that in the Gospels. And I just took stuff from the Gospel of John. Okay, so here's some of what Jesus said about himself. He started by saying, before Abraham was, I am. Right? Jesus is eternal. He's not temporary. He doesn't go away. He's eternal. He's our eternal Savior. He's our eternal Father. Forever. Grasp that. Forever. How long is forever? Forever. Right. In John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. We need bread to live. We need Jesus to live. Without Jesus, I'm not. Right? But not only, he said, I am the bread of life. Right? What he also said was, I come that you should have life and have it abundantly. Right? So are you frustrated that your life isn't abundant? That maybe you're dealing with, I don't know, personal issues or financial issues? Maybe it's because you don't know Jesus well enough. And forgive me if I'm pricking somebody's bubble, but it's true, right? He says, I am the gate for the sheep. A gate separates one place from another. Jesus is the gate. He provides the things that I don't understand, the things that I can't handle, the things that make no sense to me. Jesus is the gate, the difference, so that those things will make sense to me. Are you baffled by life? Curious that you don't have a better grasp of things? Maybe it's because you need to know Jesus a little better. Right? Right, Jesus is the only doorway. He's the only doorway. There is no other. There's only one. You can look at the other. There's one difference, and you all know it, I think. One difference between Christianity and all the other religions of the world. All the other religions want you to earn your way into heaven. Christianity is the only one that says, Jesus did that for you. You can't do it on your own. Different than any other. Right. Jesus said he is the good shepherd. Well, what does a shepherd do? Right. Well, a shepherd leads the flock to pasture. Right. He protects the flock from lions, wolves, and that. He ministers to them medically when they need it. What does Jesus do for us? He provides for us, right? He protects us from the enemy. Pastor Aaron was just talking about the screw tape letters. That's our enemy. Every one of us has an enemy. I hate to tell you, you got a target on your back. As soon as you said Jesus was your Lord and Savior, you put a target on your back for the enemy. And the more you serve him, the more he hates you. And the more he's going to go after you. Yeah. But, you have a Lord who has overcome that enemy. You're not totally at the enemy's mercy.
And when we have led astray, he comes after
us. Yes. Yes. The Lord is a healer. Right? He wants us to be whole and healthy. Right. Right, in John 14:6, a verse we all know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? I mean, we just talked about the way. Right? He is the way. And that there's only one path. He is that path. And we need to know that about him. We don't want to be confused. We want to know that about him. There was a time when I looked at this verse and I go, well, wait a second. How can a person be truth? How can a person be truth? Right? And yet Jesus is truth. Right? And I don't know about you, but I am tired of the lies of this world.
Yes,
I'm tired of the media lying to me. I'm tired of the government lying to me. Big business lying to me. Even some faith leaders lying to me. Right? Look at our language. Right, you know, we talk young people, prepubescent young people, and that who are a little bit confused as to who they are, and we hand them drugs or surgery and call it gender-affirming care. Hello? Doesn't that make you mad? We call abortion clinics, what, women's health centers? It's a lie. It's exactly right. I've had enough of it. I want to know more truth. Well, where do I find that truth? I find that truth in Jesus. And again, he says, I am the life, that you might have it abundantly. In John 15, he says, I am the true vine. Social media is full of influencers, right? At least that's what they call themselves. And they have tons of followers. It's interesting about being a follower. Because if you're a follower, you're following somebody who's leading you. Wouldn't it be a good idea to know where they're leading you and whether they know where they're going? Jesus is the true vine. If I'm following him, I'm on the right path. I'm not on the wrong path. How many people today don't think about it, but, you know, it's like, well, I look at my horoscope. Or, you know, well, I just had my palm read. It's no big deal. Yeah, well, it is. It is. It's witchcraft. And the sad truth is that if you're playing with Ouija boards, but you may get an answer, but that answer is coming from the devil. It's not coming from the Lord. Somebody bring a mic back to Elijah, please.
So what you're saying is that we can easily open a door to evil just the same way we can easily open a door for the Lord, but it comes to our choice.
Yes. Yeah, exactly true. We can open doors by what comes to any of our senses. Where it comes to our ears, bring the mic over to Miss Tina. It can be what we listen to, what we watch, what we think, who we follow on social media. Any of those things can open the door to the enemy whispering in our ear.
I just had a funny thought, but it's either I heard it through the grapevine or I heard it from the true vine.
I like that. I like that. I don't know what Gladys Knight and the Pips would have done with that, but that's a... Okay, who's old enough to remember that? Never mind. Okay. Yeah. They hadn't thought about that, Daryl. Okay. But Jesus is the true vine, right? Don't you want to know the true vine? What he says, where he leads you, what he connects you to? In John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And again, that changes everything. You know, I got to do the Resurrection Sunday message a couple of years ago. And that resurrection changes everything. Right? Hopefully it's changed every life in here. Although we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Now, Jesus is all of these things. And it's fascinating to me. You notice, right, chapter 8, chapter 6, chapter 10, chapter 14, 15, 11, various places, right? Jesus knows when we need him to be a certain place in our life. Right? I forget, I don't know, Pastor, do you know offhand how many names there are for God in the Bible? It's like 100 or something, some crazy number. It's a phenomenal number. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put it. But it's a phenomenal number. I should have looked it up. I didn't think to do it in that, right? And I mean, Jesus is so many different things. But he comes to me when he knows I need what it is, right? Whether it be when we've sent a dear one to heaven, or whether we're dealing with medical issues, or whether we're dealing with financial issues, work issues, we need some encouragement, we're depressed. Jesus knows. He knows me better than I know myself, which is probably a real good thing. But let me ask a question. What do you need him to be in your life today? What do you need him to be in your life today? There's one more passage that Jesus said about himself in John. I and the Father are one. Now, one of the most common questions that a pastor gets asked is about God. What is he like? Right? Well, you want to know what God is like? Get to know Jesus. Get to know Jesus, and you'll know what the Father is like. Right? If you know Jesus, you know God the Father. But now I want to ask the most important question. What child is this to you? Again, like I say, you guys know me, I tend not to be real emotional, but this is kind of me fired up. Because this is a real important question in your life. It changes how we live. It changes our eternity, who this Jesus is to us. Right. Now, I want you to ask yourself a question. Where do I turn when the seas turn stormy? Now, in three of the four Gospels, it tells the story. I shouldn't call them stories because that sounds like they're fiction. It tells the passage about when the disciples are in the boat crossing the Sea of Galilee, right? And the storms come up, and evidently they come up fairly quickly and violently in Galilee. All right, now being a bunch of fishermen, and then outside of Matthew, the tax collector, and that's a different story, they figure they got discovered. And so they start bailing the boat out. And at some point, they realize that they're about to sink. Right? And they go to Jesus. They wake Jesus up and go, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to capsize and die? And Jesus calms the sea. Well, why do I bring that story up? Because they, at first, went to themselves for a solution. And only when their solution didn't work did they go to the Lord. Right now, I ran a business for 27 years and made business decisions before that, right? Some good, some bad. Looking back on it, I can almost guarantee you the bad decisions were decisions that I figured I knew the answer and went off on my own without praying about it first. The good decisions were the ones where I prayed about it first and did what the Lord told me to do. Right? How often have you heard somebody say, you know, well, I've tried, my last resort is prayer. I've tried everything else. Like, that is the dumbest thing in the world to say. I mean, it's almost like admitting that you're not that bright, at least if you're a believer. But the question I ask here is, you know, I want you to ask yourself is, do my actions match Jesus being my Lord and Savior? Right? You know, it's easy to come in here Sunday morning and say, oh, yeah, Jesus, Lord and Savior, yay, yay, yay. How about when I make a decision Monday morning? How about when I have a disagreement with somebody at work on Tuesday afternoon? How well do I know the one I call Savior and Lord? Strikes me that it's extremely important to know him very, very, very well. But that begs the question, well, how do I get to know him better? Right? It'd be a shame if I brought you to the place where you know you need to know him better and you just said, hey, you're on your own. Sorry, folks, I don't have any answers. And I think the Lord has given us an answer. A couple of answers, actually. How do you get to know somebody really well? Well, you spend time with them, right? Mary Kate and I know each other pretty well because we've spent 50 years together. Right? In John 15, we talked about this verse before. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? Now, it says, if you remain in me, that's not a connection on Sunday morning for 2 hours. That's an all week long connection. You don't remain for 2 hours. I'm sorry, you don't. But it goes on, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Well, why are they thrown into the fire and burned? Because they're not producing anything. They're worthless. Thank you, Don. Right? Now I think about, we have some vines growing in our backyard. Right? I can clip the vine, and the portion that's detached, it shrivels up and dies. So maybe I need to stay connected to this Jesus. Right? Goes on, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You guys heard me joke that I'd love a 58 Cadillac convertible, blue, white leather, white top. I'm joking. Because the truth is if we remain in Jesus, the closer we come to him, we find that we want what he wants. I'm going, well, wait a second. Don't I need to look out for number one? Come on. You know what? Jesus' plan for my life is better than my own plan for my life. So if I want what he wants for me and others, I end up getting the best. It's better than I want for myself. It's almost like going into a restaurant and I'm about to order something stupid and Jesus goes, no, I want you to have the surf and turf. Okay, but how do we stay close to Jesus? Well, 1 Thessalonians say pray continually, right? And I don't want to see anyone on Cortez with their eyes closed and head bowed. Please don't do that. But what about your mealtime prayers? I confess sometimes, you know, it's fairly perfunctory in that. But am I giving God thanks for what he's provided for me? Not just for the meal that's in front of me, but I thank him for the warm house I have, clothes on my back, health, provision, his grace, his forgiveness. Am I thankful for all those things? When you get up, fascinating story, and I forget his name. There was a pastor in England in the 1800s, and he ran a huge orphanage. And George Mueller, you know the story. No, thank you, Pastor. I forgot the name. And that, thank you. And that. And he would, the more stuff he had to do in his day, the longer he spent in prayer. You go, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. If he has more stuff to do, he needs to cut his prayer time short so he has more time to do stuff. You know what? I found out that George Mueller is right. If I start my day reviewing the day with the Lord, what I know is coming up, this meeting, this phone call, this text, whatever, things that I know in advance. A lot of times the Lord will tell me how to handle things and they go so much smoother. I don't spin my wheels. I don't drive off into the ditch. And that, spending more time in prayer saves me time the rest of the day. Why? Because Jesus knows what's coming up. And I don't. But I get to know him better when I do that. Right? When you lie down, have you ever thought about at the end of the day, before you go to sleep, spend time with the Lord reviewing the day, thanking him for the blessings that he gave you during the day, and asking him, are there places that I could have done a little better? Right? What did David, King David, say? Lord, examine me. Know my heart. Maybe it's a good deal to ask the Lord to examine you on a daily basis. Right? When you have a decision to make, like I said, you make much better decisions if you consult the Lord before you make the decision. And when you have a problem, I'm a type A kind of guy. You bring me a problem, I'll try to find you a solution. Most men are like that. The joke is that you put six guys in front of a problem, they'll give you eight solutions in a matter of minutes. And there's some truth in that. I want to go to the Lord with my problem before I come up with my solution. But here's a key. Praying is not just talking to God, it's also listening to him. Think about it, right? You're going to pray. The Lord knows in advance what you're going to say. So why should we pray? We're told to pray continually. Why should we pray if God already knows what we're going to pray? So we can hear from Him. And if you have trouble hearing from Him, check the archives on the website. You know, we've got a couple of teachings there about how to hear from the Lord and that. You know, and it's not all the Charlton Heston voice with the reverb in the background. A lot of times it's just a still small voice in your mind. The Lord bringing something to your attention. Another way to get to know someone really well is to read what they wrote. Right? Well, 2 Timothy, and Pastor Darren will get to this 6 weeks from now, because it's in verse 3. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Right? All Scripture is God-breathed, right? God-breathed. God spoke into all Scripture. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, how about when you're facing a decision or a problem, going to the Scripture to see what the Scripture says about what you should do or shouldn't do? Are there similar situations there? You want to know what the Lord says before you go do stuff? Open the book. I think everybody here has a Bible or an app. At least I certainly hope so. Right? If I need understanding on a topic, go to Scripture. Check out a commentary or two. All right. Do it habitually. Right. Spend time in the Word every day. It shouldn't be an afterthought. You wouldn't think about going, unless you're doing some crazy fasting or something. Well, I shouldn't say crazy. Unless you're doing some fasting or something, you wouldn't go a day without a meal. Right? How come you go a day without the bread of life? You also read what's written about them. Right? Did I miss one here? There we go. Right? In John 21, it said, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Right? See what Jesus did when he faced a problem, when he faced a decision. Right? The disciples knew. Jesus started his day in prayer. Right? Think about when he faced the biggest decision of his life, when he faced the cross. What did he do? He went to the Father. You want to know what to do with your life? Study what the Lord did with his. Ultimately, it's what Pastor Darren tries to share every week around here. Spend time in the Word. Right? Now, I know the most common reason why we don't is, well, I just don't have time. Really? Doom strolling is more important? Binge watching is more important? My favorite TV show is more important? Let's face it, the thing that you don't do is the thing that's the least important to you. So if you don't spend time in the Word every day and you're telling yourself you don't have time, you decide whether you're lying to yourself or not. So the question is, who is this Jesus to you? Who is this Jesus to you? How many of the things that Jesus said he is, and I only covered a few of them here this morning, how many places in your life does he connect that way? You want more? Is there some reason you wouldn't want more? to change your life? Is he all the things that we talked about in your life? Or only some of the things? Now, I probably made a bunch of you uncomfortable. Well, I take that back. The Lord's made a bunch of you uncomfortable. I just got to be the messenger. I've been learning more about Jesus for 39 and a half years. And I still learn new stuff every day. I think back, I knew a pastor. His name was Howard Carter. He was a senior pastor at a church from the time he was in his early 20s all the way till the time he was 70. And I knew him in the last few years of his life. And Howard used to say that, you know, it's funny, there'd be a passage that he had taught, because he taught the way Pastor Darren does, book by book, that passage that he had taught a dozen times over the 50 years that he was a pastor, and the Lord would still show him new stuff in it. You know, so if you're not there yet, and none of us are in it, don't let the enemy condemn you. Let the Lord convict you and know that you can be better. If that's the Lord, answer it for me. It strikes me that Jesus needs to be the most important person in your life. Your life isn't complete if he isn't. But let me ask a question. Is there anyone here who doesn't know Jesus as his Lord, as Lord and Savior? You are really missing the boat. Because all Christmas is to you is Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. There's no salvation. There's no eternity in that. Don't spend another Christmas without knowing the Messiah. Come see Pastor Darren or I after church. Or if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, but you say, you know, yeah, I don't know him this way in my life or that way. I need to hear from him in this certain area. And come see Pastor Darren or I. Let us help connect you with that Savior. So I end with a simple message. Merry Christmas.